Welcome to TPTB Finance. It's Thursday, the 27th of April, and I'm joined by a man who's showing a lot of swagger at the moment, Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services International. Just referring to our friends at City AM, a fine publication where it's taken two writers, William Turville and Mark Sands, to come up with Brexit Britain Must Show Some Swagger. What do you think, Mark?
Yes.
Are you impressed?
No. I am seriously unimpressed by the quality of that sort of journalism. And this is meant to be specially catering to the finance sector. Well, okay. Yeah, we'll leave that.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, clearly you'll be off their Christmas card list. Probably, so will I if I'm pointing it out. So, let's have a look at the slides of the day. Most popular in business and finance, obviously, Trump planning to cut corporate tax rates by half, lacks details and timescales. Market concerned of increasing deficit and driving interest rates higher. So June looks like it's going to be a rate hike as well, is that right?
June is certainly on the cards. I can't see any reason why they wouldn't hint that at that very strongly next week when they meet. As for the corporate tax plans, I think the disappointment in markets is people have been anticipating this eagerly for about 6 months, and then they get this sort of vague outline which has got no clear signals on how it's going to be financed. And there's clearly a sense of both anticlimax and disappointment. That said, one might argue that Mr. Trump is perhaps learning, and he's learning that at the end of the day, it's Congress which is going to have to pass the tax cut legislation, and Congress which will have to flesh out the details on how exactly this is going to be financed. So perhaps it's not quite as a poor move as it might appear on an initial blush.
Okay. Next up, we've got ECB firmly on hold, but may set stage for June shift could reduce QE bond buying program. So we've got a divergence there. What?
I think the key thing with the ECB today is no one's expecting them to change policy. Why would they? They set out their stall for the bulk of this year, and there's no need to announce their plans for just yet. The key thing, though, is that Mr. Curé, who's a close ally of Mr. Draghi, recently changed the tune on where the risks lie for the Eurozone economy and said that they were broadly balanced. And I think a few people would interpret that as being hawkish. However, one has to remember that the other key element in today's statement will be that the ECB is very much focused on core inflation. And as much as we're having a fairly substantial rebound in the German and Spanish CPI indicators for April due to the Easter timing effects, they'll basically say that as far as they are concerned, for the time being, they're seeing no discernible upward momentum in core CPI, and as long as that's the case, they need to continue with their policy as it is at the moment. So even if they shift to a broadly balanced set of risks to the outlook, that fact that core CPI isn't picking up means that they've got a get-out clause.
Do you think they'll mention the French situation, or is that not?
I think Mr. Draghi and indeed most of the ECB council members, be they hawks or doves, know all too well it's a big trap to prejudge election outcomes in any country in the world, and they'll not fall into that trap.
Okay, we go on to Lloyds doubling its profits and challenging operating environment. Is it really challenging?
In terms of the amount of regulatory burden, and obviously Lloyds has now got this HBOS fraud scandal on its back, which was lumbered with. I mean, one should remember that Lloyds was basically a well-run bank, and then they got lumbered with HBOS. It is a challenging operating environment simply because interest rates are super low, and therefore net interest margins are that much lower. And not being one of the banks which has a big trading desk, there are the fluctuations in markets are not quite so beneficial as, say, perhaps some of the other banks with larger investment banks.
Okay, let's go on to commentary from the Investors Chronicle. Favourite story of the day. After a whistle-stop, Welsh Shore PM Theresa May hosted a useful working dinner at 10 Downing Street last night with Brexit Minister David Davis, his EU counterpart Michael Barnier, and EU Commission President and a hero of mine, Jean-Claude Juncker, eagerly greeted her with a kiss, and her face was actually a great reminder of why we left the EU, because just to avoid that man's kiss is
yes, certainly is.
Unfortunately, it's probably should still have another 2 years of near kisses and stuff like
that. Yes, she will. She will. We are literally still. We haven't even really got to the starting line on any of this, so I think it's best not to prejudge what the outcomes might be. It's a very long haul over the next 2 years in those negotiations.
Okay. Going on to the economic calendar, central bank ECB's decision there, consumer price index in Germany, and then the Draghi press conference after the expected no change in the bank rate. Moving along to FX sentiment powered by OANDA, and the highlight here remains the retail investors and traders going short up to the eyeballs as quickly as possible of the euro over 109 at the moment. So they're really strong on that, minus 14%. So high conviction there, or panic there, I don't know. Mm. And then the same thing as well, they're short of the going more short of euro sterling as well, so expecting the euro to weaken near term. Back into gold and silver at the lower levels. I think gold being around towards 1260.
I think on the euro positioning, the fact of the matter is that relief rally that we had after Macron's performance in the first round was always a bit forced, because actually what that first round told us is we've got a legislative elections for Parliament coming up in June. France is facing basically a similar sort of situation to the one that Spain faced, a situation where someone's going to actually have to make a coalition in Parliament. And Mr. Macron has certainly not got the grassroots network for his En Marche movement to field sufficient candidates. So it doesn't actually, as much as there's relief that it's not going to be Le Pen, which I wouldn't want to prejudge, I'm just saying that's what the markets are saying. The other side of the coin is that short in the euro is probably symptomatic of another thing, which is obviously we've seen a big rally in European equities, and I think it's the case that a lot of people are switching out of US equities, which they see as being somewhat overvalued, and European switching into European equities, which are seen as definitely very, very cheap, but with the political risk, a lot of people were quite restrained on that front. Now, with that political risk seemingly out the way, there's a big charge. And all this really tells me at the end of the day is central banks are now behind the curve. People are basically just desperately looking for places to park the huge amount of money which is sitting on their books. And at every opportunity, they will charge into riskier assets, which at least offer some returns. But that really tells me that central banks should be actually starting to take some of the punch bowl away from the table, because you're getting, in a lot of cases, people just charging in willy-nilly because they need to allocate that cash. But that's not actually an investing strategy. and at some stage, this could come back to haunt markets.
Okay, let's go on to the trade of the day, WPP daily chart, rising trend line breached. We've seen quite a few of these over the recent days. Death cross, lower top pattern, and their sales have slowed in Q1 just to give the final insult there. Gap top as well, which is normally quite ominous. So sell around £16.90, objective 1636 to 1600, and stops above 1730 if you like that technical trade idea. Broker recommendations, the almighty boohoo.com, which seems to be, I don't know, sort of making millions, I think 300 million or something like that was the last count yesterday. And then Diageo, our friend Ben Harrington from Beaterville, pointing out how BNP Paribas were citing Diageo as a possible bid target. And then finally, just I was... my rudder for the day always comes from Deutsche Bank, because I hold them in such great regard. They're still there and everything. And just to help me on my way, they've got a hold recommendation on next from their previous hold recommendation. So that could really help us all. Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services, thank you very much for coming in today with a swagger.
Yeah, pleasure.